You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It is Monday, April 5th. We hope you all had a happy Easter weekend. We've got a lot to talk about today. First, leading off, we've got an interesting insight from Dale Lawley, a good friend of mine and my colleague at DKPittsburghSports.com, on the real reason why the Steelers had to let go of Steven Nelson. It's something we hadn't considered. Then, we've been having lots of guests give their mock drafts. Well, I'm going to give my latest mock draft and who the Steelers take in all their rounds right here on today's show during the second segment. And of course, it's Mock Draft Monday, where we pick the winner of all the Locked On listeners who submitted mock drafts over the weekend. Find out if you won by listening to today's show, which is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, that's capital L-O-C-K-E-D 1-5, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Let's get into it. All right, Locked On listeners, welcome back to the show. Hope you had a great weekend. It was, an Easter Sunday, but I wanted to lead off with something. We all know Steven Nelson's gone to free agency, and we've heard a lot of theories. You all have heard my theory over the past few weeks about it, saying that this was more so about they offered him a pay. They said, "Hey, we need you to help us with some extension stuff," and he probably didn't go for it. Well, we have some new insight from Dale Lawley. Now, he put this in our regular Friday Insider. The Friday Insider is a regular feature of DKPittsburghSports.com, where basically all of our beat writers that are like the primary people on the beat between Steelers, Pirates, and Penguins, they drop in nuggets that they've gotten, just either thoughts that they have or any sourced material that they can bring. And so Dale goes in and basically says that Steven Nelson, the real reason why he left, it was tied to Cameron Sutton, but not in a financial way. He said that Steven Nelson was more so concerned about losing his position as an outside cornerback for the Steelers defense. And that basically what happened was the main thing that helped get Cameron Sutton back was promising him a chance to compete to be the Steelers starting outside cornerback next to Joe Haden. Now, Joe Haden, of course, his job was not up for debate. So that meant that Cameron Sutton would have to go up against Steven Nelson. And Nelson didn't feel like he should have to compete after the time that he's put in with the Steelers over the last 2 years. And so instead of competing, he said, "You know what? If I'm not good enough for you guys to just trust me to start here, cut me, release me, whatever." But here's the thing, is that it seems like the Steelers' hand was kind of forced on either guy. It's just, "Hey, Cam Sutton, we want you to stay here." And he says, "I want to be able to start outside corner," which he can and has done. In fact, one of the more impressive step-in performances I ever saw was his rookie season against the Bengals when he had to guard A.J. Green when Joe Haden went out, and he did a pretty solid job that night. So Cameron Sutton getting the chance makes a whole lot of sense, but it's very interesting to hear that Steven Nelson, that was what triggered him to say, "You know what, I just want to be somewhere else." And this fits Steven Nelson's bill. He's a guy that when he was at Kansas City, he said he felt underappreciated. And people looked at his numbers and said he was giving up the highest completion percentage of starting cornerbacks in the NFL that had so many targets or whatever. But he knew that he could be better. And then he came to the Steelers and showed, "Hey, I am a legit starting cornerback in the NFL." And the Steelers know that. But Cameron Sutton is a younger option. He provides you more flexibility because he can slide into the slot and at the outside cornerback. And again, he's a guy that's been on your team. You can kind of control him for a little bit longer. Nelson's at the point of his career. He's 28 years old. He's going to be getting into Joe Haden's age in the next couple seasons, and he's a lot more expensive. So with that plan, I think it makes a ton of sense for Cameron Sutton to just kind of be saying, "Hey, we're going to give you this shot." And if Steven Nelson just feels that way, there's nothing you can do about it. So it wasn't that the team was just saying, "Oh, we're good without him." It's like, "Hey, we're going to give this guy a shot." And Nelson didn't have it. And that kind of stuff happens. These are NFL players. And Nelson, again, he's long been a guy who believes in himself and doesn't want any part of someone who doesn't believe in him. So these are some of the high scale balancing factors that go into managing an NFL team, because there's all sorts of, there's egos that are in play, there's pride that's on the line, there's money that's on the line, and a lot of guys out there, you know, you'll have certain reactions to different things. And a lot of, you know, being a GM, one aspect is scouting, another aspect is making sure the money works, and another aspect is, you know, making sure you're keeping up with your team, but also knowing which cards to play and when you're negotiating. And sometimes it's not just about money, it's about opportunity. And, you know, at the cornerback position, Cameron Sutton wants to prove, hey, I can be on the outside. Because here's the thing, if Cameron Sutton does show, hey, I'm a consistent presence outside the numbers as a cornerback, he knows that that's a huge ticket for him. He's on a 2-year deal with the Steelers right now. Say he proves that, hey, I'm the man out here, I can be a consistent starter and a really good one for the Steelers, he looks at, hey, I can make Joe Hayden money and make $14 million a year. So he wants to be able to prove that, which is why he wants to be out there. Slot cornerbacks, they just don't get paid that much. Look what Mike Hilton got paid to go to Cincinnati. It was a good contract, but it wasn't nearly the kind of money that you'd expect from a guy who, you know, who provides the way that he does. You know, Joe Hayden, he's getting $14 million. When Steven Nelson, he was around that range too. He'd be one of the Steelers' top paid players if he had stuck with the team this year. So that outside cornerback position, Cameron Sutton sees that market, and that's why he posted, or he said in an interview last week, hey, it's just the business, it's nothing personal, I love Steven Nelson. And I think Steven Nelson appreciates that too, and Joe Hayden even posted an appreciation post for him. But that's just what happens in the NFL. There's a lot of moving pieces, a lot of different things that are going on all at the same time. It's just another casualty to the Steelers' depth chart. But hey, we'll see what the Steelers do. There's still plenty of free agents out there. The NFL draft is less than a month away, and we're going to be talking about the NFL draft a little bit. But let me know what you guys think. You guys know, you can hit me on Twitter or Instagram at Carter Critiques. Do you think that that Steven Nelson was tripping? Let me know what your thoughts are there. Next up, we're going to do a mock draft. I'm giving my next Steelers mock draft on this next segment. But first, a word from our friends at betonline.ag. BetOnline.ag, the only place that we trust here in the Locked On Podcast Network to place bets on. Even though football season's over, there's a ton of different ways to make money by gambling on sports right now. If you go to BetOnline.ag today and sign up for your free account, you'll get a 50% bonus to your first deposit simply by entering the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, all capital letters and all one word. And that will get you your 50% bonus on your first deposit. Right now, sure, the NFL's done, but you can put money down on where certain free agents might be going in the NFL. You can also bet on college basketball, the NBA, and the NHL. All different ways to get off the sidelines and get in on the action. BetOnline.ag. Remember, use that promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, Locked On, all capital letters, all one word, to get a 50% bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Welcome back to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. We are continuing this Monday show with my own mock draft. Now, I believe this is my second official mock draft of the Locked On Steelers podcast. I did my first mock draft for DK Pittsburgh Sports last Wednesday. You'll get my second written one this Wednesday, so check that out. And that's the thing, with mock drafts, all we're doing is we're experimenting, we're looking at different options and how different fits based off of new information that we're receiving from pro days, reports that we're getting on who's talking to who and what's going on there. So, without further ado, let's get into who I picked in this draft. Now, you guys know, anyone who's listened to me over the years, you know that I'm a big running back guy for fixing the Steelers offense. I said they should have done it last year. And it's funny, someone tried to call me out on it was the Happy Hour show, the Mike's Beer Bar Happy Hour show on DKPittsburghSports.com, and they said you said that you wanted the Steelers to get a dynamic back last year, but you also said that James Conner and Benny Snell were the stuff. And I said, well, wait a second, you know, it says they called me a liar. And so I was like, no, anyone who was listening last year knows I was all on J.K. Dobbins as being the Steelers pick in the second round, which was their first pick of the draft. So you guys know that about me. I've been saying they need to get a primary primary ball carrier who's a game changer at the position ever since Le'Veon Bell left. But this year, I think this is it's an exceptional opportunity with the guys at the top of the running back board. And in this mock draft that I did, they were all right there for me. Now, it was very tempting because Tampa Bay, you know, sent an offer of, you know, giving up the last pick of the first round and the last pick of the second round for just that 24th pick. And that's tempting because that gives you a little bit more ammunition to go get some of those second and third round guys, basically. But I still felt like with those running backs on the board, because I really do think the Buccaneers, they're going to be one of those teams that might try to get another running back, because they like Ronald Jones, but if you imagine that offense with a true number one style running back, the way that Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, and Javonte Williams project, it would be a rough going for any team that went up against them, especially while Tom Brady's still there. So that's why I turned down the trade. I said, you know what? Let's do what the Steelers need to do. Get Najee Harris, which I did here with the 24th overall pick. I actually didn't accept any trades. There were a couple trades that I got in the later rounds that I wasn't feeling. I don't like trading for next year's picks when I got guys lined up for me that I like right now. So my first pick was Najee Harris. Y'all know how I feel about him. He is a game changer. He breaks tackles. He makes people miss. He reads the line in front of him well. Even when there's tight holes that he has to squeeze through, he finds them and then he explodes them. He's tough to bring down and he catches the football and he's good in pass protection. He's the complete package. You put him in that Steelers offense right now, they're a much different team. You can't pass on that. And we know the center position is going to be one of concern for the Steelers. Right now, their only centers are B.J. Finney, who was just cut by the Bengals coming back to the Steelers, and J.C. Hasenauer, who we all know, you don't want to rely on J.C. Hasenauer. It's good to have him as your third option, but you need someone else there. So that's why I went and got Josh Myers from Ohio State. I picked Josh Myers because of his ability to kind of change the line of scrimmage. That's something that, you know, that's something you often say as a coach or as a film watcher. Like, you this guy moved the defensive line backwards. He changed the line of scrimmage. You know, and that's what you really need on the offensive line when you're trying to establish the run game. You need maulers, guys who are going to push the defensive line back, get to the linebackers, and change the attitude of the game. That's what Josh Myers does. Now, Quinn Meinerz does that well too, but in this case, I said, you know what? Normally, I've been picking a lot of Quinn Meinerz in my mock drafts. I wanted to, you know, give the idea of Josh Myers, because Josh Myers, you know, Quinn Meinerz played at Wisconsin Whitewater. You know, not a big school, not in a competitive conference. Josh Myers was in the Big Ten, and he was in the college football playoffs. Like, this guy knows what the top tier competition is like in college football. Not that Quinn Meinerz doesn't, because he showed up really well at the Senior Bowl. But this is just a possibility that Steelers would go for. Like, hey, we like the Big Ten. They got plenty of Ohio State, you know, top picks over the years, whether it's Cam Hayward or Ryan Shazier. I wouldn't put it past them to go get a Josh Myers in the second round. Then in the third round, I tripled up on offense and got Brevin Jordan, tight end, on Miami. And it was tempting because Pat Freiermuth, the Penn State tight end, was available at 55. I've been thinking for a while that both of these guys are going to be gone by the time the Steelers get their second pick, or at least Pat Freiermuth would. But in the third round, that's when I was like, I'm willing to take a jump there at tight end, because a number two tight end behind Ebron and a guy who could be a starter in a year or two for you in Brevin Jordan. He's athletic, he blocks, he catches, he makes people miss. He's not the best route runner, but he's a very athletic tight end who you can train up and maybe make your number one tight end in the near future and keep him around for cheap on his rookie deal. So that was hard to pass up. Then in the fourth round, I finally went to defense, and really I went defense for the next several picks in the draft. At 128, I get James Wiggins, the safety out of Cincinnati. I again emphasize, I think that he would be a great fit for what the Steelers need. He will give you that depth at safety, and he can help at slot cornerback. He's done that a lot at Cincinnati. And the thing is about him versus Sean Wade, because Sean Wade also projects the same way, but Wade's more of a physical guy. Wade's more of a guy that you want him for his size and his ability to stuff the run. Wiggins is more of a guy that plays the pass. Now, Sean Wade could be an active replacement for the style of cornerback who Mike Hilton was for the Steelers, and bigger. Like, he's 6'1". 6'2", like, he fits that mold. But James Wiggins would pose the idea of, hey, this guy is what you didn't get with Mike Hilton, which was an effective, you know, guy who can lock up in man covers and say and attack the football. And not to say Mike Hilton didn't do that at all, but that wasn't his strength. His strength was his instincts and stuffing the run. So then for my second, fourth round pick with the Steelers at 140, went and got my man Charles Snowden out of Virginia. I love him as a linebacker with his length. I think he could really help in pass coverage. And if he can just learn how to handle blockers better, I think him and Devin Bush would be an elite pair in for the next few years because of their range to cover both, you know, going sideline to sideline against the run and against the pass. And with his length also, you look at him and you're like, man, I'd like to see a tight end try to jump over him. So really like that opportunity. Then in my late picks here, I went with an edge rusher out of Tulane, Patrick Johnson. Now, those who know me know I'm a big Patrick Jones guy from Pitt, but he's going to be gone in the either the second or the third round. But Patrick Johnson, he's like a stand-up 3-4 outside linebacker type of edge rusher. He was really good for Tulane, you know, not overly strong, so he's not like your typical defensive end, but he's a guy, if you got him in the sixth round, you'd be happy trying to train him up. You'd give him a shot in training camp, and hey, if he's better than Cassius Marsh or what Ola Adini was bringing for you, that's a win, because then he's your depth guy. So I got him there, and then you guys know I'm a Pitt guy, so I had to get one Pitt guy, and Jason Pinnock just continues to be the fit for me. He's a cornerback. He runs a sub 4.5 40. He's 6'2". He's got the size. He was a really tough competitor. I think that picking him up in the seventh round like this would be a great addition for the Steelers because he helps you on special teams and he gives you a chance. Like, hey, if he steps up at cornerback, maybe he becomes a guy that you use in the near future. Either way, I don't think it would be a waste of a seventh round pick, and I think he could easily find a spot on the roster. Then for my final pick, I went with Josh Ball, offensive tackle out of Marshall, guy who transferred from Florida State. Didn't put a lot of things together. He still needs to kind of get his feet, up to par. But hey, you can add an offensive tackle to the rotation, and that would probably help the offensive line's, you know, stability, giving them some more competition in camp. Remember, when you get to those sixth and seventh rounds, and even the fifth round sometimes, you're not getting guys who definitely will make the roster. You're hoping these guys will make the roster, but you always gotta consider whether or not they will actually be able to win out in training camp, because that often happens. Sixth and seventh round guys, they'll hit the practice squad. So those are my picks. Hope you enjoyed them. We're going to get to your picks and who won Mock Draft Monday right after this. But first, a message from our friends at Built Bar. You need a snack that's going to both help you get through the rest of your day, but also be good for you. That's where Built Bar comes in. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They have 18 amazing flavors, including 6 of their newest ones, being caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. There's so much to enjoy. And also, don't forget, they help you lose and maintain weight. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for anyone that's currently on a keto diet. Right now, Built Bar has a special promo code for you to get a great deal on their website. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your next order. Again, that's LOCKEDON15, LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. We're continuing here. It's Mock Draft Monday. You just heard my mock draft for the show. Now we're going to get to your mock drafts. Now, every week leading into the draft on Friday, I post a Mock Draft Monday post where in the Locked On Steelers Facebook group, you can go into the comment section of that post, post a picture or your screenshot of your mock draft, and let everyone, you know, debate what your picks are. And then I pick one that I thought was very interesting of that group to see who is the winner for every week. I also do consider people who post on Twitter and things, but it's just much easier when you put it in the Locked On Steelers Facebook group, which you can join at any point in time. No, free of charge, no questions asked. Just ask to join the group. I'll add you as soon as possible. Search Locked On Steelers on Facebook today to join the group. But yeah, when you tweet at me, it's just tough to keep track of all of that. You know, when I'm recording the show, I like to just go into the Facebook group, go to the post that I made, and then read through the picks and evaluate everyone's picks. And I do look at each and every one of you. So thank you for those who did submit. But without further ado, our winner for Mock Draft Monday this week is none other than a longtime listener and guy who often posts in the Locked On Steelers group. That's Patrick Witt. Congratulations, Patrick. I liked your picks a lot. You touch on a lot of the key needs that I think the Steelers have while getting some interesting picks in the later rounds. So first, Patrick did trade back, which I do think is something the Steelers could do. And, you know, one, they might want to do, and two, it would really behoove them to do in this NFL draft, particularly because in those second and third rounds, there's a lot of talent of guys who could become starters this year, as well as guys who could be, you know, who could become starters in the next coming years. Really good guys at different positions. And again, the Steelers have depth issues at multiple positions. They need another inside linebacker, off-ball type of guy who can help in coverage and stuff the run. They need depth at edge rusher. They need depth at cornerback. They need depth in the offensive line. They maybe need a starting center. They need a starting running back. There's all sorts of positions where you're looking and you're saying, hey, you know, the Steelers could use this. So trading back gets you more options there. If you can pull it off without losing too much, because sometimes the offers you'll get the 47th pick and the 55th pick for the 24th, and I'm like, I'd prefer to have the 24th overall pick in that situation instead of going down like 24 spots just to get a second pick. But what Patrick here did, he traded back with the Packers to get the 29th spot of the draft. In this, he ends up cooping a 2022 second round pick. Now, I normally don't do that myself, but with the haul that he gets here, this was a win, because normally I don't like to trade for next year's picks, as I said in the last segment, but he pulls it off with this draft, because at 29, with the pick that he traded to get from the Green Bay Packers, and this is five spots back from 24, he gets Travis Etienne. Smart pick there. I think Etienne's a playmaker. You get him, Harris, or Javonte Williams. All three of them, I think, are NFL starters day one for the Steelers and contribute early to the running game. Now, Etienne, of course, smaller, slimmer, faster than Najee Harris. He's a guy who can help, and he does help in pass protection, despite what people just think on, you know, just think off the rip. He is a guy who I think could really work for the Steelers. I like him. And in Matt Canada's offense, he could be even more dangerous because, if you watch Matt Canada, he likes to use motion. He likes faster backs. He could provide that kind of lightning in a bottle that the Steelers would need on offense to get things going. And hey, the Steelers haven't had a type of running back who's a home run hitter since really Willie Parker. And so that would be awesome to see if they could get that. So good pick with Travis Etienne. Your next pick was Quinn Meinerz, as I just talked about. Quinn Meinerz and Josh Meyer, both of those guys would be really solid second round picks for the Steelers. Getting them with your 55th overall pick, really solid. Quinn Meinerz, start at the Senior Bowl, played at a smaller school, but he'd be a guy I think could end up starting some time in year one. Now, this player that Patrick picks next here, safety Talanoa Hufanga from USC. Now, to clarify, this guy is not Troy Polamalu's nephew. That would be Isaiah Polamalu. Now, Polamalu's not in this draft class, but he's huge. He's 6'4". He does a lot of things. But Talanoa Hufanga still does a lot and is a diverse type of player. He has very good range. He has good NFL speed. He can get from sideline to sideline. He compares to Troy Polamalu in certain ways because for USC, he could play linebacker, he could play slot, he could rush the quarterback, he could play deep. He was a guy that looked like a good, strong safety. And as the Steelers get ready to answer the question next year, when both the fifth-year options of Terrell Edmonds and Minkah Fitzpatrick come due, they're going to be wondering, hey, how do we keep either both of these guys or address the safety position? Because you got to keep Minkah, and then you hope that they could keep Terrell Edmonds because he's played very well for them in the past couple of years. But if you get a guy like Hufanga, it puts you in a position where you're able to say after that fifth year option, we don't need to pay Terrell Edmonds a huge contract, and then maybe he gets you a comp pick. At least gives you the prospect of getting a safety of that caliber. So that's where I see Hufanga coming in. Now again, you look at some of his tape, he can be in the box, he can help against the run, and he can be that presence that helps you in the slot. Kind of the way I said Sean Wade was, but he has the build to kind of fit that even more as a safety. I'd even take him before Sean Wade. So this is a really good pick here by Patrick. Moving down the line, he gets Justin Hilliard in the fourth round at Ohio, linebacker of Ohio State. Hilliard is moving up on some people. Now, the thing is that Ohio State has three linebackers to pick in this draft. Baron Browning, Pete Werner, Baron Browning being the first, Pete Werner being the second, and Justin Hilliard being a distant third for a while. But it seems like people are closing in on Justin Hilliard because they're realizing, hey, he actually wasn't that bad. And Hilliard projects as a very good special teamer and a guy who can definitely help covering and helping against the, you know, cover the interior and work as an inside linebacker. Now, granted, picking a guy in the fourth round, much different than getting like a Zaven Collins or a guy who can contribute right away. But I think that like you, when you get Charles Snowden, you're hoping, hey, in training camp, maybe they flash some skills. You work them in with Robert Spillane and you get like a good rotation of guys working next to Devin Bush, who, by the way, we saw playing basketball on Instagram the other day. So that's a really good sign that his knee is back in order. So good stuff there from Justin Hilliard. Then, Patrick goes and gets Trey McKitty, the tight end out of Georgia, at 140. I like McKitty as a mid to late round draft pick. You get him in the fifth, I think you're doing a good job there. He then goes on to pick Jonathan Cooper, edge rusher out of Ohio State. Physical, good guy. You know, doesn't have all the tools, but certainly a guy that could battle for depth the way that we were talking about Patrick Johnson. Then he gets Kerry Vincent Jr., solid cornerback out of LSU. Guy who will be competing for, you know, for special teams time, and guy who will be competing against Justin Lane and James Pierre at the bottom of the cornerback depth chart. Though don't tell that Tony Serino that, because of course, as you all know, he has started the official James Pierre hype train. Then Patrick finishes off getting Patrick Johnson, doubling up at edge rusher in the later rounds, which is not a bad idea, because with edge rusher, you know that the Steelers could definitely use the depth there. And, you know, when you pick in those later rounds, you know, you have a lot lower percentage of getting the guy who can become a consistent contributor for your team. So if you get two at the same position and a position where you need it, you hit on one, solid. You hit on two, great, and then you get a chance there. So and they need depth at edge rusher. I think that is an understated need for the Steelers, just not in the first round and probably not in the second round either. And then he finishes off with Taquan Graham, big guy, defensive tackle out of Texas, because, you know, what kind of Steelers draft would it be if they didn't give up the if they didn't go get a defensive tackle with their last pick of the draft? And of course, don't forget, he got a second rounder from Green Bay next year. So really good stuff here from Patrick Witt. Thanks so much for playing. Congratulations again on your winning. If you want to get a chance to win Mock Draft Monday, you can do what he just did and submit your mock draft next Friday when I post it. Anytime from Friday to like midday Sunday, your picks will most likely be considered. Go in the Locked On Steelers Facebook group, add it today, and wait for those posts. But you can also join 1,300 other Steelers fans who are chatting every day about the Steelers, including myself and other people who are on this show regularly. So thanks again to all those who play. Congratulations to Patrick Witt. That is your Mock Draft Monday, and that is your show to start off Monday. Tomorrow, of course, we got our guy Tony Serino coming back for a Tony Tuesday. That'll be a lot of fun. And make sure you don't miss it by subscribing to the Locked On Steelers podcast. Remember, we're on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and now Odyssey, the app that has now replaced radio.com. So check us out there. We got a lot of great stuff there. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave us a 5-star review with a positive comment. Doing so gets you a shout out at the end of the show. Be back in your ears tomorrow with Tony Serino for a Tony Tuesday.